Welcome to the Voice of Truth on 103.3 WAJR-FM, the radio broadcast ministry of Christian Apostolic Church in Clarksburg, West Virginia. And now, your host, author, teacher, and pastor, Doug Joseph.
I want to ask you to turn with me in your Bibles to John chapter 3 and reading there a few verses of the Lord Jesus interacting with Nicodemus. John chapter 3, beginning with verse 1, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, some Bible versions where it says born again have these words, born from above, except a man be born from above. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said, Art thou a master in Israel and knowest not these things? And so my title tonight is Born from Above. I mentioned to you earlier the scripture where the apostle said, Within me, that is within my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. If you are someone who thinks that you are good enough to earn your way into heaven, not only are you mistaken, but until you learn better than that, we're not even playing in the same ballpark. You're not someone that my preaching can even help. You're not someone even that the Lord will choose to help from his word. The scripture lets us know that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is no one who is going to earn their way to heaven by their righteousness and their goodness. In fact, when you really get a sense of it, you realize the Lord does not call us to compare ourselves to the lowliest, the worst sinner in society. We are called scripturally to compare ourselves to the standard of perfection, the Lord Jesus Christ. If you have not sinned, then yeah, maybe you can earn your way into heaven. But the bottom line, ma'am or sir, is that you have sinned. That's the scripture. The Bible says any man that says he has not sinned is a liar and the truth is not in him. I'm preaching to you that sobering revelation. And he said, I'm a worm. I'm not a man. I'm a worm. I'm preaching to you that wording of the apostle Paul when he said, Oh Lord, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? And we need to realize we need a savior. Whether you're someone who's never been born again or you've already been born again, it is still true. You need a savior. The Lord told them, he said, follow me. And he said, I will make you fishers of men. Now, I've been to Israel and I've been on the boats out on the Sea of Galilee. And they've taught us how that fishing with a net was traditionally done. They would drop a net on the fish from above. And I mentioned to you that this Bible verse that I read in John chapter 3, born again, is translated in some translations as born from above. I'm telling you that if you are dead in sin and trespasses, you are like a fish swimming, that if you're going to be saved, you're going to have to be caught from above in his net of love, and you're going to have to be fished out. The scripture talks about a corn of wheat that unless it falls to the ground and dies, it abides alone. But if it falls to the ground and dies, it will bring forth much fruit. Folks, the way up is down. The way in is out. You've got to be caught by him. and your carnal nature has to die out. You've got to die to sin and trespasses. You've got to mortify the deeds of your flesh. You must be born again. And then after being born again, you've got to live different. You've got to live born again. The Lord captures us for his kingdom. We are like fish caught in a glorious net of righteousness that is thrown upon us from above. And if it seems bothersome to you that our salvation is described like being netted or being captured, I want to tell you that is exactly how the Apostle Paul spoke of it. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 12. I'm going to read it first from the King James and then also from the New International Version. The King James has it this way: not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. The New International Version says it this way: not that I have already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Praise God. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 14 through 21. I want to read that to you from the New International Version as you follow along in the King James Version. For Christ's love compels me. The King James said, constraineth me. Folks, you hear me. He is working to catch you. He is working to capture you for your own good. He is working to constrain, to compel you. His love compels us because we are convinced that one died for all and therefore all died. Folks, you understand that the symbolism in the gospel, the symbolism in the cross, he died on the cross. And when you line up with his example and you obey the gospel, there is a death that has to take place in your life. Just like that fish being caught and brought up out of the water that perishes so that it can bring nourishment. There's a death that has to take place. You say, Pastor Joseph, what is this, some kind of death cult? I'm not talking about a natural death where we're going to give you some Kool-Aid or something like has been done in some weird cults. I'm talking about death to carnality. I'm talking about dying to sin by repentance from your past deeds. A turning over of the leaf, so to speak. A 180 degree turn in which you die, the old you dies out and a new you is born again, born from above, caught from above. And then the new you is a new creature that lives different, thinks different, talks different, sounds different, dresses different, lives different. Because you have been born from above. He said, as one, we're convinced that one died for all and therefore all died. And he died for all that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. And now you see that the symbolism begins to take full circle. He died on the cross, you died to sin. He was buried in the tomb, you are buried with him by water baptism in his name unto death. And when he came forth with new life from the tomb, that's symbolic of him baptizing you with his spirit to complete the new birth experience, and that endues you with power from on high, and you are born from above. Amen. He says that he was raised again in verse 16. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone and the new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. Folks, the message is not, you dirty dog, you need to be dumped into hell. The message is, hey, if you'll listen to me, I will tell you about a Savior who loves you so much. He didn't count my sins against me. And if you'll repent, He wants to fill you with Himself. And He wants to not count your sins against you. Oh, hallelujah. Folks, I'm talking about freedom from sin. I'm preaching about freedom from addiction. I'm preaching about being set free from the bondage of the enemy. I'm talking about being able to turn your life around. Hallelujah. He says, not counting people's sins against them. And He has committed to us the word of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making His appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made Him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. I'm telling you, if you're here tonight and you have not been born from above, you need to be reaching and straining and saying, Lord, capture me in that net. Raise me up from this pit. Let me be born with your Spirit. When it happens with power from on high. Luke 24 and verse 49. I'll read it from the King James and from the New International. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. Folks, you hear me? The net comes from above. And when the baptism of the Holy Ghost comes, it comes from above. It comes from on high. The International Version says, I'm going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed. Folks, can you see the net coming down and around them? The net is clothing them. Clothed with power from on high. Praise God. The power comes as the baptism of the Holy Ghost comes. And it is the result of the Spirit baptism. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses. That word witnesses speaks to me in the same vein of ambassadors. You are to go to people with the ministry of reconciliation. You shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. The Holy Ghost baptism, the Holy Spirit poured out on them at Pentecost, was poured from above. Acts chapter 2 verses 1 through 4. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound. Hey, wait a minute. I remember reading Jesus said that when the Holy Ghost baptism would cause people to be born again, you wouldn't be able to see where the wind was coming or where it was going. But He said you would hear a sound. And He said that is how it's going to be with everyone who is born of the Spirit. The Scripture says that there came a sound. Where did it come from? It came from heaven. Folks, this net comes from above. It came from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. How did that sound manifest for each one of them? And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all, that's what Jesus said, it would be this way with everyone who is born of the Spirit. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues. Somebody say, He gave me a sound. And when He gave it to me, I spoke it out. Hallelujah. I'll never forget the day that happened for me. October 18 of 1984. It came from above, folks. It struck me. It was a sensation like being struck with lightning. And it went through me. And I realized, as I began to obey God, I realized that I was speaking a language I never learned before. It was a beautiful language. As I spoke with other tongues, as He filled me with his Spirit. I was given an Acts 2 infilling of the Holy Ghost. I was given that. Elder Claypool mentioned a few minutes ago, you come too late to tell me he doesn't heal people. I'm telling you, you come too late to tell me nobody gets the Holy Ghost anymore. He gave this experience to me. If there's anybody here tonight that God blessed you with that experience, would you stand and give a great shout of testimony that you come too late to tell me that God is not still pouring out the baptism of his Spirit with the sign and initial evidence of speaking with other tongues. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. That power caused them to speak with tongues. Jesus once told Peter, he said, Peter, go catch a fish. And when Peter caught that fish, there was a coin in the fish's mouth. Folks, I'm telling you that he made us fishers of men. And today when we catch the fish, God will put something in the fish's mouth. And it's called speaking with other tongues as the Spirit gives the utterance. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for your touch and for your power. He said, these signs shall follow, Mark 16. These signs shall follow them that believe. He said, they shall speak with new tongues. In the same way, it is just as Jesus said in John chapter 3. And verse 8, hallelujah, the wind blows where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof. And then he said, so is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Praise God. The Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost given at Pentecost may not be the kind of religion that the carnal person wants in their carnal nature. The carnal nature of man longs for a religion where we are always in control. The carnal nature longs for a religion where we never have to surrender, where we are always in charge. Yet God is the maker of man, and he is the maker of man's mouth. And in his word, he requires that we submit to being captured from above, to being controlled, compelled, constrained, apprehended from above. We must be willing to surrender to him in order to surrender control over to him in order to be born from above. If we could truly manifest accurate and godly self-control, then that would be one thing. But the proof in the pudding shows that we cannot. The Bible makes clear that no man can tame his own tongue. No man can subdue or control his own tongue. The broader implication of that is that man cannot subdue his own carnal nature. We don't deserve to be left in charge. We don't deserve to be left in control because we need his help if we have any hope of keeping the carnal nature held in check. James chapter 3 and verse 8, but the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. You mean to tell you what happened in Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost? Those people fully surrendered to God. And as they surrendered this part of their will and this part of their heart and this part of their mind and this part of their thinking, the Bible teaches that the most unruly member is the tongue. And that means that in their process of surrendering, their tongue and the part of them that controls their tongue, it's the most unruly member. It's the last thing to be surrendered. And so what it means when they began to speak a language that God gave them, it was signifying they are completely and fully surrendered to God. Amen. That verse about no man taming the tongue comes in this context. For every species of beasts and birds, of reptiles and creatures of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by the human race. But no one can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil and full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the likeness of God. So this is the picture, folks. The fish underwater, he feels at home. He thinks he's fine. He has no thought of dying. He has no thought of serving a higher purpose. But the fish out of the water is not at home. the reality is that life is not fine at all. And he has to die in order to serve a higher call. That fish dying and being consumed to provide nourishment calls to our mind the words of the Lord about the kernel of wheat. John chapter 12 and verse 24, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall to the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit." So now that I've taken some time to address those that have to surrender control to God and be captured from above with an evidence of speaking another language, I want to also take a moment to address some who already have, yet maybe you're not walking in the Spirit day by day regarding your talk, lest any one of us should glory in the fact that we already did or we do speak in tongues. We also need to daily surrender control of our tongue to God. Daily, James 3:6, "As the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity, so is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature and is set on fire of hell." Psalm 55 and 21, "The words of his mouth were smoother than butter, but war was in his heart. His words were softer than oil, yet they were drawn swords." Psalm 57 and 4, "My soul is among lions, and I lie even among them that are set on fire, even the sons of men whose teeth are spears and arrows, and their tongue a sharp sword." Psalm 59 and 7, "Behold, they belch out with their mouth, swords are in their lips, for who say they doth hear?" Let me read that one from the New International Version. "See what they spew from their mouths. The words from their lips are sharp as swords, and they think, who can hear us?" We used to sing a song for the little kids in Sunday school, "Be careful, little ears, what you hear. Be careful, little eyes, what you see." And I don't remember all the words to the song, but I hope somewhere in the song is, "Be careful, little mouth, what you say." Psalm 64, verses 3 and 4, "Who have sharpened their tongue like a sword. They aimed bitter speech as their arrow." Proverbs 26 and 20, "Where no wood is, fire goeth out. So where there is no talebearer, the strife ceaseth." Let me read that one from the NIV. "Without wood, a fire goes out, and without a gossip, a quarrel dies down." Wow. Everything really is in there somewhere. Proverbs 20 and 19, "He that goeth about as a talebearer revealeth secrets. Therefore, meddle not with him that flattereth with his lips." I really like the way this one's worded in the New International Version. "A gossip betrays a confidence, so avoid anyone who talks too much." Proverbs 18, 8, "The words of a gossip are like choice morsels that go down to the inmost parts." And if you skip down to Proverbs 26 and 22, it says the exact same thing in a repeat. "The words of a gossip are like choice morsels. They go down to the inmost parts." Proverbs 11 and 13, "A gossip betrays a confidence, but a trustworthy person keeps a secret." Proverbs 16 and 28, "A perverse person stirs up conflict, and a gossip separates close friends." One translation says, "A troublemaker plants seeds of strife. Gossip separates the best of friends." 2 Corinthians 12, 20, King James says, "For I fear lest when I come, I shall not find you such as I would, and that I shall be found unto you such as ye would not, lest there be debates, envyings, wraths, strifes, backbitings, whisperings, swellings, tumults." Let me read that one from the New International Version. "For I am afraid that when I come, I may not find you as I want you to be, and you may not find me as you want me to be. I fear that there may be discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, slander, gossip, arrogance, and disorder." Leviticus 19 and verse 16, "Thou shalt not go up and down as a talebearer among thy people, neither shalt thou stand against the blood of thy neighbor. I am the Lord." Now, if there ain't nobody here tonight that needs to hear that, it's the word of the Lord anyhow. But if you're here and you need to hear it, repent. Amen. Earlier I cited a verse in which the Lord spoke of a seed falling to the ground and dying so that it could bring forth much fruit. That clearly refers to surrendering one's life to God. But in a real sense, it also refers to the Lord laying down his life so that he could bring forth fruit in us. I want you to listen. I'm going to read a quote by A.B. Simpson. He was born 1843, died in 1919. I want you to listen to what he says about how that verse in 1 John 3 and 9 refers to God's holy nature as a seed planted in us by the baptism of the Holy Ghost. This is what he said: the Holy Spirit in the life of the Lord Jesus. The mystery of the incarnation is repeated every time a soul is created anew in Christ Jesus. Into the unholy being of a child of Adam, a seed of incorruptible and eternal life is implanted by the divine Spirit, and that seed is in itself, through the life of God, holy and incorruptible. Just as you may see in the sweet springtime, the little white spotless shoot coming from the dark soil and out of the heap of manure, unstained by all its gross surroundings, so out of our lost humanity, the Holy Spirit causes to spring forth the life of the newborn soul. And while the subject of that marvelous experience may seem an imperfect thing, still he has that within him of which the apostle has said, his seed remaineth in him and cannot sin because it is born of God. He, that is the newborn believer, he can sin, but that holy nature implanted in him cannot. It, like its author, is holy too. I want to ask you to stand with me. When I consider the sheer sinfulness of my carnal nature, when I consider the many times I've disappointed him and let him down, when I consider the many times I have allowed myself the sad and disastrous luxury of choosing other than right, and I consider his grace and his mercy, his holiness and his sinlessness, it causes me to writhe. It causes me to want to cry out like the Apostle Paul. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? It causes me to feel like I'm not a man, I'm a worm. I so identify with the words of the Apostle Paul. He said, within me, that is within my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. I'm telling you, folks, from the oldest among us to the youngest, from the brightest to the dimmest, from the most spiritual to the most carnal, the heart's cry of every one of us needs to be, Lord, would you please increase so that I can please decrease? I need more of you and less of me. And if you have a hope of making heaven your home, it's not going to be because you earned it on your own righteousness. It's going to be because he captured you from above and brought you in by his grace and by his mercy. If you've never been born again by repentance and water baptism in his name and the infilling of his Spirit, I invite you to come to this altar and let God do that for you. And if you have been born again, would you realize that you need a renewal tonight? You need him to be magnified and you to be minified. I'm opening this altar tonight. I invite everyone to come and pray. Let's come and seek that God would grant to us a space and a place of repentance. Let's come, whether it be our first time or yet another in an instance of a lifetime of living a repentant life. Let's let God plant the seed in us if it's our first time or if it's not your first time. Let him renew that baptism of his Spirit within your life.
Listening. You can reach us online at cac.us.com. Catch the Voice of Truth broadcast each Sunday morning at 11:30 right here on Talk Radio 103.3 WAJR-FM.